Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show. Connor Halley, Jeff Walker with you here tonight. Don Wheaton GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Tough one for the Oilers as they fall to the New Jersey Devils 5-2, game one of their three-game road trip in which they stay in the great state of New York or New Jersey, the eastern part of the United States, and an absolute tough one. Now, we're taking your calls 780-444-1260. You can also text us at 101260. The text's already coming in here. Keep those coming. If you want to reach us on social media, at Connor Halley. Jeff, your Twitter handle is?
It is Jeff Walker, and the number 30, Jeff, is G-E-O-F-F, Connor.
Geoff Walker.
That's the one.
30. And if you're old school and you want to send me an email, connor.halley@bellmedia.ca, that will also work. We are going to be bringing in former NHLer Joaquin Gage onto the show in a couple minutes here, get his thoughts. And it works out quite well that we're going to have Gage on because a guy who played in the NHL knows what it's like. And it was absolutely a tough night for Stuart Skinner in between the pipes. And to expand on that, it was tough for the Oilers goaltending. Jack Campbell, in case you missed it, took an errant puck to the head. He rushed off down the tunnel. The e-bug was activated. That's going to be a situation to monitor for the Edmonton Oilers going forward. Of course, off tomorrow, but they will be back in action, taking on the Islanders on Wednesday. And you have to think Stuart Skinner likely gets the start. We hope Jack Campbell's okay. That's all speculation. We'll wait and see. I did reach out to the Condors. Just a quick question asking about Calvin Pickard. He is currently injured as well. So if there were to be a recall, it wouldn't be Pickard. And that makes things a little bit crazier. Could it be Olivier Rodrigue? Like, not, we'll wait and see what happens before we divulge into that one too much. But obviously not a great night for the Oilers. Let's get to the scoring summary here very quickly. And it was early, only 2 minutes, 25 seconds into the first period on the power play. Jesper Bratt on the rush fires one past Stuart Skinner. If you were watching that play, maybe you wish that Darnell Nurse gets in there, closes the gap just a little bit. But that would make it 1-0 for the Devils. Klim Kostin took the penalty there. One that I thought was a little bit ticky-tacky, kind of soft, but the refs made the call. Oilers down 1-0. They would respond on the power play later on in the first period, though. Leon Draisaitl continues his great play, his 11th goal of this season from Connor McDavid and Evan Bouchard on the power play. But from then on out, the New Jersey Devils really taken over, and they are playing some very good hockey right now. Obviously, they've won 13 straight. Dawson Mercer would take advantage of a Stuart Skinner mishap in front of the net, playing the puck, bobbles it a little bit. Nico Hischier gets him the puck for the tap-in, and then a play, a nice goal if you're a Devils fan. If you're an Oilers fan, you probably didn't love it too much. Damon Severson would finish it off. Jesper Bratt, Quinn Hughes with the passing to set that one up. Nice play off the rush. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins would score in the third period, but that got them within a couple. Thomas Tatar would score his fourth goal of this season. Another tough one, I would say, for Stuart Skinner on the play. Big rebound, a nice hand-eye coordination by Thomas Tatar to grab the rebound, drop the puck, and bury it. Tough coverage in front on that one, though. I took a screenshot on my Twitter and posted it. Tyson Barrie, Leon Draisaitl, Jesse Puljujärvi, all kind of shadowing Dawson Mercer, and Thomas Tatar left all alone. And then, yeah, that was pretty much it for the Edmonton Oilers. They fall 5-2 out in Jersey. The New Jersey Devils playing some absolutely outstanding hockey. To break this down just a little bit more, we are going to bring in our in-game analyst, Joaquin Gage, former NHLer. And Mr. Gage, pretty good for us to have you on the program tonight, because for the goaltending duo in Edmonton, it was not good. We'll start on the ice. And When you're a goalie and, you know, you fan on the puck right in front of your net, what's going through your mind? I imagine panic is setting in quite quickly.
It happens so fast at that level, Connor, that there's a feeling of dread, I think, first of all. But I mean, it's a little bit unlucky because he was trying to do the right play, but with a spinning puck and putting your stick right on top of it. 9 times out of 10, you couldn't even try to do that again, right? So, unlucky goal for Skinner to give up, and it kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as that happened, obviously it's a one-goal game, and you start to maybe panic a little bit from there. What would be the message, you think, to Stuart Skinner after this game? A couple soft ones. I mean, I'd like to get your thoughts also on the Thomas Tatar goal. He gives a bit of a rebound, but the three Oilers in front follow Dawson Mercer and leave Thomas Tatar right there. I mean, you've got to be a little frustrated, I guess, that you give up that big rebound, but guys, someone's got to take him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the shot was kind of like it was a two-on-two, essentially, with a little bit of a screen, so, and a good quick shot. Yes, if you ask Stewart, I'm sure he would have said he would have liked to do something a little bit better with the rebound, but what I didn't like about that play was it's kind of a very late switch, I believe, between, was it Nurse and Tyson Berry. Like, Nurse follows his guy all the way to the corner and kind of ignoring the entire play, and Barry's kind of just staying in his lane. I thought maybe Nurse could just come back to the house and protect it that way instead of just following his man. I don't know. There was a lot of different things that were on that play that didn't work out, like the giveaway in the neutral zone. The New Jersey Devils are... that you really saw what a good team they are, and it's tough. They just play a simple game. I found that I felt like it's a very simple game, but when a team that plays simple but their execution level is so high, it's very tough to defend against. They were just they were causing turnovers all night long.
Walking Gage joining us here on the Don Wheaton GM White post-game show. Connor Halley, Jeff Walker with you. If you want to get a hold of us, 780-444-1260. You can also send us a text at 101260. Gager, when you look at the Oilers offensively, I mean, there were some opportunities. Connor McDavid, you know, as per usual, had his chances. Zach Hyman in front of the net in the first period, which could have been a good goal. I think he missed the net on that one. What did you think of the Oilers offensively in this one?
Well, I felt... Connor was obviously always generating chances and doing things, but again, I'd really like to see a simplified type of game from the Oilers. I think both goals they came from just simple shots on net. Jesse Puljujärvi doing a good job of standing in front, and as a goalie, if you it's so hard to control the rebound if you can't see the initial shot, right? So. Just simple bang away goals. It doesn't always have to be the nice cross ice empty net tap in goal. I think they have to get back to a more simplified game and getting those shots. If you really look at the Oilers' best games this season, in those games they're getting over 35 shots a game. It's just they're generating way more just by having that chaos. And I mean, they're having a tough time even getting pucks on net lately. Evan Bouchard, again, I think he had three or four blocks in New Jersey tonight. So it doesn't have to be hard, just has to get through and just know having that mindset of getting that separate second opportunity and putting it away.
What do you think is going through the mind of Evan Bouchard on those? Because I know going back to his first couple of years, you'd see those flashes where he'd walk the blue line and he'd be so patient, finding ways to get it through. And we've seen it on a couple occasions this year in crucial moments. Not that he's doing it more than anyone else. I saw a stat where, you know, he's not even leading the team when it comes to block shots from the blue line. But it tends to be in those crucial moments. What does he have to do to try to correct that?
Well, it's tough for Evan because everyone's got it. Like, I was worried about it a little bit because this is really only his second season. And sometimes with young defensemen, you see a little bit of regression their second year. And I think the fact that he hasn't got a goal yet might be trying to probably just do a little bit too much, right? And just, again, with I'm sounding like a broken record, but simplifying the game. It's so hard to beat an NHL goalie with a slap shot from the blue line, right, without traffic, right? So I would just try to focus on just trying to get that puck through. Like, that's all you have to do. And all that does is it turns everyone's head and attention to behind them. And just creates that chaos. And the Oilers are so good in those small areas when the chaos ensues and you get those then that skill level, those little 3-foot passes of finding a guy wide open or over a guy or between a guy's legs for the tap, and that's when those plays typically start to develop for the Oilers. And so I think it starts with simplicity on the offensive side and then hard work, and eventually the skill takes over.
Joaquin Gage joining us here on the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show. I'm Connor Halley, Jeff Walker with us here as well. Your text, welcome, 101260. Phone calls as well, 780-444-1260. One text here. You want to describe the Oilers' defense, just show everyone that Tatar goal. Yeah, not ideal with that one. And JB says, Skinner did look like the weight of being an NHL goalie was visible on his shoulders tonight. Joaquin, what do you think about that?
Well, again, it's a guy starting his career as an NHL goalie. It's gone quite well for him. This is the peaks and valleys I think that you'll find with a young goalie. And the best thing about Stuart Skinner so far is he's proved that he can play at a very high level. Tonight wasn't his night. Sometimes you do have those nights. And you know what? I did like, there was a battle level from Stuart Skinner, so that I did like, because there were some saves that were quite difficult from tight and good angles where he didn't allow a second opportunity. Right? I felt like some of his rebound control in certain situations was quite good at gobbling it up. There was some others that weren't so good, obviously, but I liked how he battled through a little bit of that after allowing the goal that he kind of gave away, and he still stuck with it. So that's a really good sign. He didn't go right into the tank there. But saying that, well, we'll see what happens with Jack Campbell. But there's probably the possibility that we'll see Stuart Skinner right back in there, and I think that's important for a young goalie. The quicker you play, the quicker you can forget about the last game. That's what I always said to myself.
It'll be a quick turnaround. Jack Campbell, like you mentioned, takes a puck to the head while on the bench, immediately went down the tunnel, did not come out for the third period. The e-bug was ready. George Blinick, 27 years old, plays Div 3 hockey, would have rocked number 40 had he been needed. Gager, when you're that just seems so unlucky for Campbell. And obviously, the way the season's gone for him on the ice, it hasn't been great. And then for this to happen, like, when it rains, it pours.
That's an insult to injury. That actually happened to me once, Connor. It's funny. Well, not funny for Jack Campbell. It was funny for me because we were in St. Louis, and I'm pretty sure, actually, it was Chris Ponger went to dump the puck in, and we were actually like, we had the puck in their end for a while. So everyone on the bench kind of stands up because it looked like we were about to score. Pronger gets the line and dumps it in, but I was the last guy on the bench. And so he dumps it in and I didn't see him shoot the puck. So it was another 16 guys moving their heads back. I'm the last guy in line and take a Chris Pronger wrister right to the tooth and chip my tooth. So I had one save in that game. I was perfect. So that's how I looked at it.
You stopped the puck. So this is last week. I know it was funny because I know Gregor did not like it. The NHL announced that players would have to wear their helmets in warm-ups. You think goalies will ever have to wear their helmets on the bench?
Well, if things like this keep happening, I guess, yeah. But, no, I hated that. That seemed ridiculous. You couldn't even wear baseball hats when I played. That was,
really?
Yes, I tried. I think I tried to put one on, and Sparky was giving it to me. So, but I back then I had hair, and so I wasn't having a great hair day. So I just wanted to cover it up. But I think it's part of the machismo and stuff of going out there for warm up, having some sick flow and driving with the rag top down, you know. I don't mind it. Yeah, sure, you can get injured, but you can get injured in the game too. I don't think they should, but because it just adds to people's personality, gets you kind of ready for the game. I don't like that.
Yeah, it seems like with all the potential issues in the NHL, player safety and, you know, offsides and reviews, weird that they went after the helmets in warm-up, but
Funny how two guys with no hair are complaining about not wearing a helmet. We just got follicle envy, I guess, me and Jason.
Maybe. I mean, hey, even if you don't have hair, whipping around out there, feeling the wind on your scalp, it's got to feel good. We got a text here. Holland needs to be fired, from Tyler. Too soon?
Holland needs to be fired?
Yeah.
Jeez, it's only Monday. You guys are into the sauce early. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. I think this is a bet. Like, the Oilers are up and down. There's a lot more to this team, and they're missing a player that adds so many intangibles within the lineup with Evander Kane, that he's a huge, huge part of the Oilers now. And I mean, you look at last year, the Oilers were struggling to a point until he joined the team and added that extra dimension. And even like with Yamamoto out too, the little buzzsaw that's very, like, you've heard Cass talk about him, I'm sure tons, like, he's always in a good position defensively, and he eliminates a lot of chances the other team develops. I know things haven't been going for him offensively, but there's a lot of things he does well away from the puck too. So when you have two guys that are huge parts of your team out of your lineup, that's tough. I do like what the new guys have brought to the table so far, but I think it's huge shoes to fill.
Joaquin, just looking at Dylan Holloway, another game where he plays under 10 minutes. I did get a minute 12 on the power play here. Obviously, you know, you mentioned Evander Kane, the team also down Kyler Yamamoto. Had it not been for those injuries, do you think Dylan Holloway is still with this team? And would you consider even now looking to send him down to Bakersfield?
Yeah, I really think he needs some, just to be playing. It's not doing him any good playing the amount of time he is. And look, it's really too bad because things haven't gone well for him, right? There's been some giveaways that have resulted in goals. I'm sure that bugs him. So he starts gripping the stick a little bit tighter and changing the way he plays, whereas he should be a player trying to figure out how he has to play to be successful at the NHL level. I know if things have worked out for him his whole career up to this point, but the NHL is a different beast. And sometimes for skilled guys, they have to find another dimension and another tool to keep them as counted on NHL players. And I think he just he needs to play a lot more and get some confidence. Go play 22 minutes. Start putting some points up on the board. Start feeling better about yourself, because you can see it in even. I kind of was trying to watch him a lot tonight, Connor, just to see. And I mean, it's only a few minutes, but even the his reactions on ice going back to the bench just kind of deflated because he couldn't get anything going. Right? He's trying so hard to make things happen or have a good shift, and it's really not going his way. And so you hate to see how great that his preseason went and all the and going into the season with a bunch of confidence to a point now where it's tough for the young kid.
Yeah, the annual reminder to take preseason with a grain of salt. We see it every year, and obviously the injury didn't help him early on in the year. Gager, now the Oilers turn their attention to the Islanders on Wednesday. It's a nice 5:30 puck drop, another early one for the Westerners out here. What do you think about that matchup, and what would the message be from Jay Woodcroft going into that one?
I think, to me, what did I write down? I think I said trust your teammates a little bit. But in the defensive zone, it just looked like everyone was on their own page a little bit. There wasn't a lot of communication. Even the one that really stand out, probably because I'm a goalie, but the one Skinner has the puck behind the net and he's holding on to it, waiting to do something, and the New Jersey player's coming up on his blind side, and it just seems like even the communication in the defensive zone isn't there. You have two guys going to one guy. It just doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page. So get back to a simple game. You're going to have to shoot the puck tons against this goalie for the Islanders right now. So lots of traffic, getting into the eyes of the goalie and getting shots through on the offensive side of the puck, and just I think a nice hard nosed simple game will do the Oilers wonders.
That'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully, for the fan base's sake, yes, they can simplify it and get the win. Joaquin, thanks so much for doing this tonight. We really appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. That is former NHLer, friend of the station, Joaquin Gage, joining us here on the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show. Connor Halley, Jeff Walker, taking your calls and texts, 10-12-60. Someone says, do you three read texts? Hey, we're getting to them. Come on. The question before that, is Campbell okay? We don't know as of yet. We're waiting on Coach Woodcroft to speak to the media. Jeff, I don't know if you've gotten
Skinner
any updates.
Skinner did just talk, and he was talking about that he's going to be fine.
So, okay, yeah. So, hey.
Yeah, he's a hard worker, I think is what he said. Something like that. So
classic hockey lingo. Yeah, I mean, hey, it is what it is. He took a puck to the head. I mean, Gator said it. Like, there's nothing you can do. That's just, if it happens, I mean, you're going to be shook. At that situation in the game, I don't think you have any reason to take Stuart Skinner out, just especially under those circumstances. So we'll try to get you an update on that one, but we will see in the next hour or so if we get any updates. A couple more texts to get to. Scalding Gord says, the Islanders have been winning with smoke and mirrors. Goaltending and PK has saved them way too many shots again in bad PP. So for the Oilers with a good power play, you know, maybe you can expose that one.
But smoke and mirrors, you know, like they're still winning,
yeah,
right? You know, like that's the thing, right? Like it doesn't matter how you win games as long as you're getting the wins. Honestly, if you're an Oilers fan, you would like to have a win tonight, right? And it doesn't matter how your team gets them as long as they get them. So Scalding Gord, I still love you, buddy. But yeah, I think you still got to be careful with the Islanders. And I think the Islanders are going to match up well against the Oilers.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's not going to be easy. We knew this road trip from the start would be tough. You're playing three of the top four teams in the Metro, starting off with the Devils, who had won 12 straight coming in, now 13 straight. Like, these are good hockey teams. It's not going to get any easier. It's not on the Oilers, you know, being able to count on their opponent to not be as good. They have to elevate their game to get this thing going. We have another text. Is Benning still with the club? Could fill a physical void? Nope, he's been gone for a while, unless there's another Benning I'm missing. But Matt Benning
was in San Jose now.
He's in San Jose, yeah. He's been traveling a little bit since he left the Oilers. Nashville, yeah, then now the Sharks this year is playing 20 games. So
I did like Benning, yeah, he was good. I loved how he stepped up on the play and, you know, had that physical element. But, yeah, he's a Shark now. I'm going to just come in here, Connor, and say a lot of people are really on the team tonight about losing this hockey game and the way they lost. But, you know, I really think that they played a good game to start out. It was unfortunate that there was that goalie gaffe that really killed the momentum that the Oilers had. But up until that point, they were really playing a good, solid game against one of the best teams in the league, a team that's now on a 12-game heater. Like, it's unfortunate that they lost this game, but I don't think it was from a lack of effort. I don't think it's because the team is a bad team. It's just unfortunate that, you know, like, That goal went in, and next thing you know, you're kind of on your heels a little bit. It takes it takes a little bit out of your game. And so all the people that are saying that, oh, yeah, the season's over and the sky's falling and stuff like that. Yeah, you lost the hockey game. But you know what? You got to take some positives out of this. And the Oilers did play a pretty good hockey game up until a point.
Yeah, and I mean, we have to say it. You can always look at it from an Oilers perspective and say there needs to be improvement. But the New Jersey Devils are the hottest team in the NHL right now. They play a fun brand of hockey. I mean, the third goal, Tate asked about what was Jesper Järvi supposed to do. I mean, that transition was fantastic. I thought JP might have made the right play. He covers for Cody Ceci, and at the end of the day, it's just kind of a wide-open shot from the slot for Severson, maybe just lack of communication. But, you know, the Oilers had their chances, and I talked about it earlier. I mean, Zach Hyman in front of the net all alone can't bury it. He gets that, things are different. Connor McDavid had a couple great chances. That wraparound at the end, I mean, the New Jersey Devils got some very good goaltending, and you have to give them credit for that as well. But, yeah, I mean, I think that a couple bounces here and there, this could have been a little bit different. But I still think there are underlying issues with this team that have to have you concerned. The defense at times looks a little bit lost out there. When they're playing defensively in the transition, it's almost like there's no communication and no idea what to do. They just kind of hope for the best at times, and the Devils made them pay. Lots of rooms of improvement, I think, Jeff.
You know what?
I get,
I'm with
I get
you.
The frustration.
I'm with you. You know, like I was saying, you know, like you're playing a good Jersey team, and they start out well. But you know what? You are at the quarter point of the season. Well, you're not quite there, but you might as well be there. And the Oilers are kind of on the outside looking in at this point in time. You know, they're not where we all expected them to be at this point during the years. But, you know, like, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? The team's just got to come back, and they got to win against the Islanders. And they've had a pretty tough schedule. You know, like, you've gone through all these Florida teams. This is your second time through some of them. You know, like, the Devils, the second time playing them. And let's be real here. The Devils are beating everybody right now, Connor. It's not just the Edmonton Oilers. It's everybody. But when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, there are some warts on their game. And until they get those cleaned up, you know, you're going to kind of see games like this. But I think if they had a little bit more puck luck tonight, if Stuart Skinner, you know, like, and I'm not trying to pin it on Stuart Skinner either, because I think he's been really good for the Oilers so far. But if he doesn't have that gaffe, I think it's a completely different hockey game. And it's unfortunately fortunate that it happened, but it did happen. It kind of threw the team off, and we ended up where we're at tonight. But like you said, there are some warts on the team, and they definitely have to get that cleaned up. And they need to get it cleaned up soon, because if they start falling farther behind those teams, first, second, and third in the Pacific, it's going to be tough to get back in.
100%. Especially, I mean, the way the Vegas Golden Knights have been playing. And you talk about the Oilers having a tough schedule, the Vegas Golden Knights, a lot of their naysayers will say they've had a little bit of an easier schedule, but hey, they're winning those games and doing what they have to do. The text about Benning, that was supposed to be Benson. By Benning, I meant Benson. Sorry, guys. Don't be sorry. Tyler Benson has played two games now with the Condors being sent down there. He has one assist. So, I mean, he might be someone they look to. Obviously, I think this is kind of more of a conditioning stint for Benson. And then, yeah, he could be a guy that you could add to your bottom six. The thing I like about Benson is he's kind of evolved as a player, right? Like, everyone knows the legend of Tyler Benson as a youth hockey player here in town. And then, you know, going first overall in the WHL draft to Vancouver and, you know, playing well and then getting drafted in the second round by the Oilers. And it became pretty clear after a couple of years that he wasn't going to be a top six player, but he kind of changed his game. So maybe he could be a guy that could help out in the bottom six, make the Oilers tougher to play against. I think that's something that you're always looking to add. Another text here. Hey, Connor, what you say if the Oilers miss the playoffs? I don't know if that's asking what I would say or if I think they will miss the playoffs. I think they're going to bounce back and play some good hockey and make the playoffs. If they were to miss the playoffs, huge fail. Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you go down to the final four of a season the year before, your expectations are going to be high. I think we have a tendency to panic a little bit. We get probably too high when they win and a little too low when they lose. And then hopefully the team and the coaching staff kind of stays even keel. But I think this is still a playoff team, and I don't think we need to get too panicked about that one.
Oh, it's still really early in the season, right? You know, like, we're only at the quarter point. There's a lot of hockey left to be played here. The Oilers are a good team. They just have to pull it together for 60-minute, you know, time frames each game. That's what needs to happen, because, like, this team seems to dip, and when they dip, something bad happens. When something bad happens, it kind of snowballs for them a little bit. But, you know, for anybody thinking that, you know, like, they're going to miss the playoffs because of the start they had, they played a lot of tough teams so far. They're still in the playoff picture right now. There's a lot of hockey left to go. And you still haven't gone through California yet. Like, we played Los Angeles now. They're going to be a good team throughout the year. But, like, really, Anaheim's a bit of a tire fire this year. San Jose's not looking too hot. They're already looking at trying to trade some of their players. So, like, you have teams in your division that you can score some points off. And I get that other teams can score the same points off of these teams. But the Oilers haven't got there yet. Vegas has already played San Jose a couple times. They've already played Anaheim. The Oilers are going to get to these games, and then it's up to them to flex their muscle and be the team that we all think they're supposed to be and go out and win those games. And as long as they take care of that, Connor, I don't think we have any issues with this team making the playoffs. What they do in the playoffs, that's going to be the big question, because there's a lot of teams that are already looking like they could be in the running for a long playoff run.
Yeah, and I mean, Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, yeah, if we get to those situations where, you know, you are playing those California teams, Seattle, and you are losing, then maybe you start to panic. And maybe that's when it starts to kick in. But I think right now it might just be unwarranted stress. Good text coming in here, and I just wanted to do a little research on it. And no name here, reminder, if you're going to text, give us your name so we can give you some love. But he says, or she says, I think everybody that has forgot that this team was right around 500 before Evander Kane showed up last year. If they don't replace him, they don't stand a chance, especially with their current D-Corps. I mean, the impact that Evander Kane had on this team was absolutely massive, 100%. We said it at the time, and you can quote me on this one. Off the ice, you didn't have to like him, but on the ice, he would be an absolutely perfect fit for this team, and he was. I just want to go back and look. So his first game with the Oilers was January 29th against Montreal. At that point, the Oilers' record was 22-16-2, and they had won three straight going into that game. Now, that was coming off a bunch of losses in a row. Of course, Dave Tippett was fired. Before he got there, they had won three straight. Looked like maybe they were starting to turn things around. But yes, the addition of Evander Kane, absolutely massive. Not only scoring goals, but toughness that he brought. The unpredictability, knowing that you can't maybe take a cheap shot on a star player or anyone because Evander Kane might show up and punch you in the face. He added a lot, and when he returns to the lineup this year, we hope that rehab is going well with his wrist, and hopefully he's good to go, and we see that same sort of impact. But yeah, they can't sit back and wait for that. They've got to start to get things going here and handle it themselves internally. Jeff, we'll take a break here. When we come back, you said we've got Skinner. I assume we have Coach. Who else are we going to hear from?
We're going to hear from Zach Hyman and Tyson Berry as well.
Oh, I love it. You're listening to the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show with Connor Halley and Jeff Walker here on TSN 1260. 8:14 here in the city. It is the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show. I'm Connor Halley sitting in for Tom Gazzola, Jeff Walker in as well. Don Wheaton GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. The Edmonton Oilers falling to the New Jersey Devils 5-2 out in Newark. The Oilers 10-9 on the season. We are going to head out to Jersey and get some audio, but I want to get to a couple texts here. Some good ones coming in. No name here. 3 goals in 14 of their last 19 games. They won't be a top team until they get better goalies and defensemen. Certainly need an improvement there. The Oilers will do okay in California, but unfortunately they don't play the Chargers. Scolding Gore, that was unprovoked. I didn't need that. If you are wondering about Monday Night Football, the Niners lead the Cards 24-10. So, going good for the Niners, not so good for Tommy G's Cardinals. Dirty Curdy says, what I find interesting is I hear the talking heads bragging about how the last 10 Oilers first-round picks are still in the organization. What a damning indictment on this team's drafting and development. There's still time with Broberg, Holloway, and Borgo. However, there is time to wait. Kenny has to make a move. That one got
I think it's not time. There's no time to wait.
Yeah, I think that he's got to make a move. N got skipped. There isn't time to wait. Old Kenny has to make a move. And honestly, I'm all for it. If you can find a team that's willing to make a trade, potentially take over some cap space, maybe they have to hold on to some cap space, like, you know, eat a little bit themselves, then yeah, make that trade. I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, Jacob Chychrun is the guy a lot of people want. We'll wait and see what happens there. Maybe he comes back and plays well and the asking price goes up. I mean, if you want to send us your trade proposals, feel free. 10-12-60, we love it. Phone line 780-444-1260. And we have one here, and it came in a bunch of pieces. And I don't think there's a name on it, but I'm going to try to get through this. Kane is a huge difference maker, but even when he was in the lineup, these problems existed. They need to shake something up. Things in the bottom six and D. We are supposed to be a contender, and we are not. Not even close at the moment. They're in cap trouble, and we're talking about Benson coming up. Please, he hasn't cracked the regular lineup in years. Kenny needs to show why he's in the hall. Maybe just made mad in the moment, but I've been thinking of this for a while from Munchmaster Flex. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Ken Holland's in the Hall of Fame. He had a lot of success in Detroit pre-cap, right? I mean, it's different times. It's different times, and it's tough to make a move right now for this Oilers because of the cap space. So you do look internally, and who can help you out? Can Tyler Benson come in and solve this team's scoring problem? No, he's not going to do that. But could he come in and make this team a little tougher to play against? That's an option. That could be something.
Well, and you saw that sandpaper out of him a little bit in the preseason, right? You know, and I get that the guy's fighting for a job and he's playing harder, but, you know, it's going to be the same thing when he gets back into the lineup here in Edmonton. You said it earlier in the first part of the show that, you know, like Benson was a guy that he was always a top line offensive player as he was coming up through junior, and that just didn't work out for him in the NHL. So he has reinvented his game. He's not the same player that you saw try to make the squad the last 3-4 years. Because he's had to change that game in order to be something else. And I'm really curious to see what you get when you get Benson back in the lineup. Because I did remember watching him play in the preseason, and he looked really good, Connor.
Yeah, and it's the preseason, right? So like,
It is the preseason. We had Ty Ratty look really good once. I get it.
Take it with a grain of salt.
But you know what? When you're not counting on him to score goals, and you're counting on him to just come into the lineup and stir the pot a little bit and bring that energy. I think that's a player that, whether or not it's the preseason or not, if you can bring that energy into the lineup, you're doing really well. The difference was with Ty Ratty. You know what? The Oilers wanted this guy to be a first-line offensive player, and he looked good in the preseason, but it was the preseason. And then once you're trying to score goals on real NHL teams, well, you know what? It just didn't do as well. But if you're a third, fourth liner that's going to muck it up in the corners and make it hard for the other team, then I don't think that there's that big of a difference from the preseason to the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to bring that hustle and that, what you know, that grit, the sandpaper in the preseason, I mean, you just hope it carries over. I mean, it goes from trying to make a team to stay on a team. You have to have that mindset. And I think that Tyler Benson is a guy who's going to do that, realize what he has to do, and we will see. He's not going to get this team to the Cup final, but you know, maybe his addition wouldn't necessarily hurt them. Just a couple more texts to get to, and then we will head out to Jersey and get some opinions from the room. Boston was without their top left wing and number one D for over a month. They built a culture and a team that is greater than their parts. The Oilers are not close to having that as an organization. Well, yeah, that's for sure. The Boston Bruins have been, I guess, you know, in the conversation as teams that can go on runs for the last decade. I mean, what they've built is special out in Boston. And then, you know, they get players to go there and sign on kind of cheaper deals. Having, you know, a depth to sign Taylor Hall there, I mean, it was a good move for them. They are currently 16-2. They've won 6 in a row. They're 9-1 in their last 10. So, and undefeated at home. So, yeah, the Boston Bruins, a great organization. One big long one here. Going to Grand Prairie, no name. Why can't the Oilers ever have 4 trustworthy lines? We've had McDavid and Leon a lot longer than Hughes and Hischier in Jersey. They've demolished Edmonton twice. I fully expect to not make the playoffs. We've seen this team good and bad, but more bad. Doesn't even make sense anymore. Thought it was the coach. Apparently not. Thought it was the GM. Or thought the GM had this figured out. Apparently not. Thought with the two best players, we'd be looking at a cup. Apparently not. The biggest roller coaster team in the league. They continue on to say, I bet the Oilers run and gun is an over. He's overcommitting to the rush and puck heads the other way because they can't cycle, and Oilers defenders are mostly too slow to get over and commit to backing in. Kulak gets beat a ton. Bouchard is slower. D-man Niemelainen is not ready for the NHL, and the Oilers are the worst blocking team out of every team I watched this season. LA practiced their blocking with Edmonton and now knows how to beat them easy. Everyone studies Edmonton. Edmonton studies nobody, but they should, obviously. So, a lot to get to there, a lot to unpack. And you know what? Keep those texts coming. We love the energy. 10-12-60. This is the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show. Oilers falling to the New Jersey Devils 5-2. They're back in action on Wednesday when they'll take on the New York Islanders. That's a 5:30 start. And then on Saturday, the dreaded afternoon game, or here, morning game. It's 11 a.m., 1 p.m. New York time. The Oilers, obviously, a few things to correct right now, though. Let's head into the room and hear some audio. We'll start off with Zach Hyman. He played 19 minutes, 42 seconds, 4 minutes on the power play, had a couple shots, and was dash one. Here's Hyman as he spoke to the media.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't able to capitalize. They got those two in the second to make it 3-1. You know, but we were in a similar situation to what they were when they were in our building. And, you know, I thought we had a good pushback, and then weren't able to close it out and give up 1-8. So tough one there, good team, and we got to be better.
What makes them so good? What do they do?
They're quick. They're fast. fast. When you turn the puck over, they capitalize. So I think we're turning it over a little bit in the neutral zone, not getting it and guaranteeing it, you know, behind their D and making them work. Once they have their eyes up, they're able to make a play, and they did it on the fifth goal. But they do it all the time.
The D-zone coverage, what do you think of it tonight?
The D-zone coverage?
I mean, Tatar scores was a key goal in the game, I think, mm-hmm. and he's all alone in front of the net banging a rebound.
Yeah, that's a rush chance. So he took a shot, and then it popped up, obviously, caught it, and then hit out of the air. Good play by him, but that's, you know, when I talk about the rush chances, turnovers, and you're just on the lead to rush chances. I'm not sure if that was a turnover. I don't remember, but I remember the goal, obviously. So, yeah, we just have to be better coming back into our zone, into our D zone, off of a rush. And they're a team that's probably the best in the league. And when they get the blue line, whether they turn up or whether they're attacking the net, they're dangerous.
You guys haven't won two games in a row for quite a long time now. And when you win, you play pretty good hockey. Mm-hmm. Can't seem to play that level two nights in a row. Is that mm-hmm. something that you can find a solution to?
Well, it's something we're going to need to find a solution to. This league is a really good league. You need to bring it every single night. There, you know, the parity, I think, this year is better than any year. If you look at the standings in both conferences, it's tight, obviously. And, you know, we need to start to string games together and not just have a good one and then an okay one and then a good one and then a not-so-good one. So we need to have some consistency to our game. And it's not early in the year anymore. It's, you know, we're closing on the 20 game mark, so we need to figure that out. And it's a big test, you know, for us as we flip the page here in the Long Island. So that's going to be a good one.
Zach, just to piggyback off that, Jay was saying before the game that he's felt like since the last time he played the Devils, mm-hmm. play has been, as a team,
sorry.
Has been kind
no,
of
no, sorry.
Has been kind of uneven. Was yep. tonight the kind of example of that? Just kind of uneven play, some mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, there are mistakes in every game. You try to limit them. I would say you have to know who you're playing against. And, you know, there are times in that game where, again, we didn't get the puck through the neutral zone. And it's just, you know, as simple as putting it behind them and then, you know, getting a line change. Like, you don't realize the play that's going to, you know, cause an impact. You know, there are plays where we turn it over and then they're spending time in our zone and our D are getting tired and our forwards are getting tired. And it just, you know, carries momentum and carries play. So I think we got to find a better way to continue to carry play throughout the game. And that'll lead to, you know, obviously more scoring chances for us and, you know, more goals, etc.
There you go. That is Zach Hyman. As we said, just before we got to that, 19 minutes played tonight, four of which were on the power play. Dash one, a couple shots on goal, no hits, no giveaways, no takeaways. So not the best effort from Hyman. Had a great opportunity in front. And if he scores there, could have been a big difference in the game, but it did not happen. It was not meant to be. The text still coming in at 10:12:60. And I'll get to a couple texts here. Dirk says, hey guys, disappointment after tonight. The second goal by Jersey was the killer. Rough night for Skinner, but he's held us in, so I expect him to bounce back. Campbell starting Wednesday seems an easy decision now. I mean, assuming he's okay after taking the puck to the head on the bench, yeah, I would agree. This would be your opportunity to get him back in there against the Islanders, a chance to try to find his game. I totally agree with that. Assuming he's good to go, I would expect that. Darren says, wow, all offseason we heard the Oilers are cup contenders with 97, 29, and 25 in their prime. Now Kane and Yamo are why they are 500-ish. The fact that Kane and Yamo being the excuse for losing is just an example of the lack of depth. I think Fogel has stepped up, but that's it. Frustrating to see how so many players are not committed and winning the puck battles and good positioning. Just frustrating watching the same issues for a decade. Darren, I get that 100%. Like, there's times when this team, you know, loses battles, that's going to happen. But, you know, defensively, you got to be playing smarter. You got to be in the right position. You can't be giving away easy goals and easy opportunities in front of your net. And that seems to be something that just continues to pop its head up for the Oilers. Another one here. I know you guys already spoke about it, but I can't understand why this organization always talks about how much they prioritize player development and then they go ahead and play Holloway 5 minutes per night instead of sending him down. This has gone on for years. We keep prospects that aren't just ready up in the NHL for too long. Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things. When Ken Holland came over, Jeff, I thought, you know, this is it. Like, this is going to be a total change in the culture, especially for young players. A combination of the Oilers finally having more depth and not needing young players to come up, but also Ken Holland saying, you know, we'd rather overripe guys and have them play in the AHL till they are ready. And Dylan Holloway, I mean, the way he played in the preseason, I think a lot of people said, yeah, you know, I think he's earned that spot. And since then, it really hasn't gone his way. I wonder if Kane and Yamamoto were both healthy, would Dylan Holloway already have been sent down? I know Jason Strudwick on the Jason Gregor has said it for about 2.5 weeks, maybe even more. Strudy said, you know, Dylan Holloway needs to go back down. He needs to go play. Gager said it earlier on in the pregame or postgame show. And now you just kind of wonder when it's going to happen. Some of us thought after that Florida trip, it might happen. Get him back to Edmonton and then send him down to the Condors. Still, it hasn't happened. And not ideal for Dylan Holloway tonight. He played 9 minutes and 54 seconds going back the last couple games against the Vegas. It was under 5 against the Kings, 8 minutes against the Panthers, 6:55. Carolina, he did play 15 minutes, but he was a -3. He was out there for a lot of goals in the own net. And the game before that, 5 minutes. So, hey, I think a lot of people would be totally okay with Dylan Holloway going back down to the Condors.
You know, and you said a couple things there that I agree with, and that never works for good radio because you don't want to agree with the host all the time. But, you know, like, I'm surprised that Holloway is still up here. Ken Holland is not the type of guy to just have players kind of linger around the lineup if they're not ready to go. And Dylan Holloway, I think he's going to be a good Edmonton Oiler one day. I don't think he's got it in him just yet. So I do think he belongs in the AHL right now. But I also think you were accurate when you said that if Kane and Yamamoto hadn't gone down, I really think that after that Florida trip, they probably would have sent him down. But right now, you need some offensive players in your lineup. And I get that Yamamoto wasn't having the highest offensive season so far. Evander Kane was doing just fine. But you need a player that's going to be able to score. And who are you going to bring up from the minors that's going to have more offensive flair than Dylan Holloway? That's my question for you right there. There's a reason the other guys are in the AHL, and it's because they're not NHL players either, right? So, you know, I think the Oilers are kind of stuck there right now with Holloway. If it was up to me, I would still find a way to get Holloway down into the minors so he can actually play some meaningful minutes on that team. But I don't think it's that easy right now because you need to find some sort of secondary scoring when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers because they just don't have that right now. And Holloway is your best bet at maybe being a player that can find that, Connor.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about guys who, like you said it, who would be the guys that could provide some offense from the AHL, I mean, Seth Griffiths leads the way. He's got 2 goals in 14 games played. Michael Kesselring, the blue liner, actually leads the team in goals with 6. The guys who maybe one day have an opportunity, Xavier Borgo, he's got 3 goals in 14 games, 7 points. I mean, no one's there.
And once again, if you bring up a guy like Borgo, you're doing the same thing, yeah, right? You're going to bring this guy up, and he's going to get 5 minutes in the NHL lineup as well. So, like, the Oilers, unfortunately, they're just kind of stuck in kind of an awkward space right now. And Dylan Holloway, as much as I think everybody agrees that this guy is not getting a fair shake in the NHL and should be in the AHL, I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I'm with you. And just to round off some names that people might be interested in, maybe they're not, but I'm going to say it anyway. Raphael Lavoie, in 8 games, has 2 goals, 1 helper, and Carter Savoy. Very similar last name, spelled very different, or pronounced very differently. 9 games played, 2 goals, 1 assist. I said, hey, if you were going to make a text, what would you do? Someone says, Broberg, I think that's supposed to be Borgo, Puljujarvi, Fogelberg, Josh Anderson, and Arbor Jacki. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
I think that's right. Good on you for trying.
I looked it up. I'm not just going to throw names out there and embarrass someone's name. Arbor Jacki. I feel like a lot of people would love to see Josh Anderson in the Oilers uniform. You get rid of Puljujarvi, that's going to take away 3 mil. Borgo, Broberg, Fogels. Yeah, I mean, we have to run the cap numbers, but it seems like it could be balanced. I don't know if that would do it. I don't know, you know, if I'm the Montreal Canadiens. Why would you do that, though? Like, that's it. Okay, a prospect, a couple prospects, maybe, or go, oh, well, he's French-Canadian, so maybe we like him there. Puljujarvi, eh. Fogel, eh. Maybe.
Well, and you're giving up on Borgo, who looks like he's going to be a good prospect, right? Yeah. JP, unfortunately, like, as much as I love JP, and I love JP, there's just no market for that guy right now. And Warren Fogel, I hate to say it, the guy's played a couple good games. Maybe he didn't have anything too awesome going today. But, you know, like his last, say, 3-4 games for the Oilers, he's been playing well. Let's not forget, right? Like, you ran up against a team that has just been ripping through every other team in the NHL tonight, right? The New Jersey Devils are just on a streak, and it's sometimes you're just going to lose to good teams. And are the New Jersey Devils better than the Edmonton Oilers? They're better. They have a better record. They have a better streak. I don't know if they're overall a better team, but, you know, like, they were better on this night. They won. So I still don't think that anybody needs to panic here. I still think, even though we're at the quarter mark of the season, I still think there's a lot of hockey left to play. And I think this team will turn it around.
This text, I wonder if it comes from Montreal, because that'd be really cool. Shout out to our Montreal listeners, or just a Montreal number. Holloway isn't ready. Suck it up. Send him down and trade for something. I think a lot of people would disagree with you. JB says, what's up with Kesselring and his 6 goals from the blue line? The best part, none of them are on the power play. They're all even strength.
I like his name too, Kesselring.
Kesselring, great name.
I like that. That's a good hockey name there.
why don't we head out to Jersey once again, go back into the room. Jeff, why don't we hear from the Oilers' starting goaltender? Stuart Skinner, obviously not the night he had hoped for. Mishandled the puck a couple times. I'd say he got left out to dry a couple times in his own end. He ended up making 23 saves on 28 shots. Let's hear from number 74.
Tough game, tough loss. They're obviously a great team. They're obviously hot right now as well. They got some great players that can make some great plays, and it was just tough to lose, especially 2 in a row to these guys. But all we can do is learn from our mistakes and move on.
What's their big game? I mean, you see them in front of you. I mean, what do they do exactly?
They're just a skilled group. I think off turnovers, that's where their game is. I think they're fast. They make a lot of good east-to-west plays. I think their D are always jumping in the rush. They're a good team, right? I mean, they have their record for a reason. And, I think they're just a really good group over there.
So their 2-1 goal, can you kind of take us through what happened there? It looks like you kind of just found on a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. The puck was kind of bobbly. Tried to make a play to the corner, and then it just kind of fanned off it. I'd have to take a closer look at exactly what happened, if it like went under my stick or if that was just me or kind of what happened. Obviously, it's a tough one to let in because that gives them the lead 2-1. If that didn't happen, who knows, right? So
stomach drops a little bit when you're in no man's land and the fuck's heading your net.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough. I definitely needed to make a better play, but at the same time, when stuff like that does happen, which it will, you just got to bounce back and move on. And the tough one for me was probably the 3rd one, kind of a little trip. And gave them the 2 goal lead, which is you never want to do.
You trip coming across the crease on that 3-on-2?
A little bit, yeah. I tried to grab an edge and just lost it. I fell and I just couldn't reach for it. And that one stinks just because it gives them 3-1 lead, right? So, but it's all right. You learn from it and move on.
I don't mean to dissect every goal. I'm just curious about the 4th goal because you looked like you were a little confused. Did you lose sight of the puck after the first save there, or what kind of?
It was a good shot. It kind of went through a couple sticks. I think it might have hit a stick, so I kind of stayed up on the blocker save, bounced up, and then he grabbed it with his hand, dropped it, and just swung at it and went in. Good players make good plays. He made a good play, had a good shot, and for me, I'd obviously like to have better rebound control there, but is what it is.
Any takeaway from a game like this?
I think for this one, for myself, I think it's more of a mental takeaway for me, just making sure that, you know, it's a good hockey club over there. I got some stuff to clean up, and I'm going to do that, work on my game, and keep getting better, move on, and then next game I'm going to be better for it.
Is Jack all right?
Yeah, I think so. I went and saw him after the second period, and he was laughing and smiling, so that's the kind of guy he is. But no, he had a pretty bloody nose, and obviously sucks to see that happen, especially to him. And I think he's fine. He grinds.
He grinds. I like
he grinds,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Campbell just seems like one of the nicest guys in the league. So that is tough to see as a teammate. You don't want to see that happen to any backup goalie. Just minding their business. Gager talked about it. You know, when it comes from a certain angle, everyone on the bench is going to lean back or move out of the way. And you don't see it coming because they've screened you. So, yeah, that one's tough. I don't even know how you'd react to that one. Like, I feel like my face would just implode. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I would probably start to cry.
That's one of those weird ones, right? Because, like, if you don't see it coming, it's all of a sudden my face hurts.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, then you're trying to figure out what happened for a second, and then you realize, oh, I must have got hit by a puck. So like, at that point, your face is already leaking. Like, that's a harsh moment that I don't think we're ever going to experience in the world of radio, Connor.
Like, when that stuff happens and you bounce up and you're like, I'm okay. And you just try to walk it off and you're not okay, but you're just, you know, trying to say
I'm okay, and there's tears in your eyes. Yeah, I got you. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, we're happy to hear he's okay, because that could be a very dangerous situation. The texter from Montreal, no name, follows up with, and he talked about Holloway setting him back down, saying he isn't ready. This isn't to say he won't get there, but the guy scored 8 goals in 2 years. Get his confidence up. He's getting into the dirt right now. 100%. Let him go play 20 minutes a night. Play on the power play. Have a puck going to the back of the net off his stick, and you know, get that confidence back for sure, because I can't imagine hockey's a whole lot of fun right now when you're playing 9 minutes and just not going well for you. But we talked about it. For the Oilers, maybe it's more a necessity that he's here. If Kyler Yamamoto comes back, maybe that's when we see it happen. But we shall wait and see. Right now, let's go back to Jersey and hear from the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Stuart Skinner.
Well, I thought we started the game fairly well. I mean, we let a goal in on the first penalty kill, but, you know, we outshot, we outchanced the other team in the first period. We made it 1-1 hockey game. We had chances to go ahead. We didn't find that next goal. And then, you know, I thought there were just some self-inflicted errors that we have to clean up in our game. And when you play a team that's on the roll that they're on, you know, they make you pay for those individual errors, and we were made to pay tonight on some of our mistakes.
Do you think this is more of some of that uneven play you're talking about this morning a little bit?
Well, like I said, I thought the first period we had the chance to be ahead. It was, you know, we got people involved in the game. There was, we found a way to score one on the special team to make it a tie game. And then, you know, there are just some individual errors in our game tonight. And against a team like that, that's playing at that level right now, you can't do that and expect to outscore mistakes. We had numerous chances. You know, we clawed back. There was game and fight in our team. You know, we made it 3-2 there at the beginning of the third period. We had a chance to tie it, make it 3-3. Their goalie made a really good save, and then we had you know, an individual mistake on a rush coverage, and it ended up in the back of our net. So that's the way it went tonight. Our fellas, you know, worked, but in the end, self-inflicted individual mistakes cost us.
We were asking Tyson about that fourth goal. Yeah. It was basically a 2-on-3, and it ends up with a guy in front of your net scoring a goal unattended.
Yeah.
I guess I'd ask you as a coach, what's supposed to happen here?
Well, obviously you don't want that to happen. So what's supposed to happen, you know, we want to do a better job of contesting lines. You know, I think the game changes when the opponent gets the blue line. If they do get the blue line and shoot the puck, they got to get touched. They can't just have a free lane to tap in a rebound. That's one of those individual mistakes that we have to clean up.
Jay, when you look at the last 7 games specifically, it's alternating between losses and wins.
Yep.
Can you describe the process and maybe the challenges that have surfaced in trying to get into a rhythm?
Well, I mean, we've been faced with stiff challenges in the teams that we're playing. But in order to build consistency in your game, you want to see certain things in your team every night. I would be worried if I saw a lack of effort, or, you know, you didn't have it on a certain evening. I thought we worked tonight. But in the end, learning to clean up some of those individual errors, you play a team that's at the level they're at right now, you can't make those errors. And you want to make sure that the other team beats you, not you beating yourself. And tonight I thought we made too many self-inflicted errors.
Is there any solace to be had in the fact that nobody's beating these guys right now? It's 13-0.
Nope. You know, we felt we had a chance to win. We had belief even going into that third period. We felt we if we got one in the first 10 minutes that we would position ourselves to come back against that team. You know, as I said, when the game was 3-2, I thought the events that changed the game were, you know, we had a quality chance right in front of their goalie. He made a big save. You know, it was kind of a tough puck that ended up at our blue line, but we should be able to handle that, and it ended up in the back of our net, and that proved to be a mountain too high for us to climb.
Is there an update on Jack Campbell?
You know what? I didn't even get a chance to see Jack. Obviously, that's an unlucky event, and hope he's feeling better. We'll have an update for you tomorrow.
There you go. Head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Jay Woodcroft. As I said before we got into that, Jeff, I said Jay Woodcroft, head coach of the Oilers. Maybe I said Stuart Skinner, but
maybe you did.
You guys know what I meant.
Yeah, it's all right. Connor, you've been here for a long time today. What time did you get here today, sir?
Not that long. For like radio standards, it's a long day, but for people who have real jobs, not that long. Where I don't want to go begging for sympathy here.
Oh, I'm kind of trying to help you out with that. But no, it's all right, Connor. It's all good. You know what? Accidents happen sometimes, right? Stuart Skinner made a bit of a fluff on a play here today, and you did as well. So
this is how I imagine it going. Oh, I got here at about noon. Oh, it's not even 9. Connor, you haven't done 9 hours. I just did my 12-hour shift. What are you talking about? So
yeah, but you got up and watched some soccer at 6 o'clock in the morning, right? You know, like you were following the sports.
England made me proud this morning. After the Chargers broke my heart last night, England made me proud. Beating up on Iran 6-2. I love the World Cup. But we've got World Cup action here on TSN 1260 tomorrow at noon. Australia up against France. And then on Wednesday, Canada takes on the world number 2, Belgium. Oh, I cannot wait for that one, Jeff. We'll take a break here. When we come back, what are we going to get to? What's your award?
Well, it's the Walker post-game Ranger Gold Star of the game. We're going to get to that. Yeah. And we're going to hear from Tyson Barrie yet.
There we go. Lots to get to still. We'll take your text 10-12-60. Keep those coming in. And phone lines are open 780-444-1260. I'm Connor Halley. That's Jeff Walker, post-game Ranger. It is the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show here on TSN 1260. 8:50. Thank you for tuning in to the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show. Connor Halley, Jeff Walker with you here on TSN 1260. The Oilers falling to the Devils 5-2. And a couple of texts coming in here saying, with the Oilers' loss and the Blues' win, the Oilers now officially out of a playoff spot. So, yes, we can confirm that the Oilers out of a playoff spot. Right now, the Flames and St. Louis Blues hold the advantage, all teams with 20 points, but the Oilers do have a game in hand. So, yeah, I mean, hey, there's still 63 games to go, lots of hockey to be played. But, yeah, the Oilers definitely have some things to figure out. JB says, I think that this frustration from the fans is not so much about the loss, but where the loss puts them in the standings, that very well could be it. And Dave says, hey guys, unfortunately this team has 2 players on it, and that's 97 and 29. And if they're not going 300%, this team has no chance, and they will have no chance because there's lots of holes after those 2 people. From Dave, I do not disagree with that, Dave. I think that this team will go as far as Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl will take them. When they go nuclear and play like they did in the playoffs, you saw what happens. It's hard to muster that for 82 games in a regular season. And, they're certainly going to need to minimize the passengers when it comes to this roster. Tonight, Leon Draisaitl had the goal. Connor McDavid had the assist. McDavid, 5 shots. He was buzzing out there, as per usual. Nuge had 7 shots in this one. Other than that, though, you got your 4 from Leon and not too many other grade-A chances. We talked about the shot for Zach Hyman in the first period, but, you know, other than that, didn't really go their way. We'll see if they can bounce back on Wednesday when they take on the Islanders. That one's a 5:30 puck drop. We'll have pregame coverage at 4:30. Gazzola, Cassian, Gregor, Strutty, and myself. Texas, 10-12-60. Let us know your thoughts on the game. Phone line 780-444-1260. Right now, let's head back to New Jersey and hear from Oilers defenseman Tyson Barry.
When you're facing a team maybe as hot as they are, there's very little room for making any errors because they seem to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you know, we knew obviously they were on a run here when we came in, and we liked their first period, and then they got two on us, and we're kind of chasing it a little bit, and gets away from us there at the end of the game. But you know, give them credit, they're playing solid hockey right now, and if you want to beat them, you're gonna have to, you know, play a full 60, and we didn't quite tonight.
Is this a matchup that just doesn't work for you guys right now? It might later on, but if you ever...
No, I mean, the last game they were in our barn, they, you know, they kind of squeaked one out on us. We'd obviously like to have that back. And tonight was just, you know, good first. And like I said, we didn't play the full 60, and they did. So I don't know about a matchup we can't handle or anything like that. I think, you know, I don't think we see him again this year. So unless we meet him in the playoffs, it doesn't really matter. So we'll see.
Tyson, Jay was saying before the game that since your last matchup against them, that it felt like you guys were playing a bit uneven. Do you feel like tonight was another maybe example of
that uneven?
Yeah.
In what way?
Just in the, like, ups and downs and
inconsistency. Yeah, a little bit of that. We, you know, we're win one, lose one kind of thing, and we want to get on a bit of a roll here and start and cranking them out and get feeling good about ourselves in our game. And I think we've made some steps over the last, you know, few games to iron some kinks out, but you know, against a team that's playing as well as they are, we need a little bit more.
Can you explain that? I thought the fourth goal was a big goal, the Tatar goal. Mm-hmm. It started out as a 2-on-3, yeah, and he ends up alone. What is supposed to happen?
That's probably my fault. I think I should box him out after he shoots it. I think I heard it hit Skins' blocker, so I'm kind of looking around to see where it goes. And I mean, give him credit. He grabs it and hits it out of the air and into the net. And I think I probably, I get my stick on the puck, and I think I turned the wrong way, so I should probably box him out.
Just a big example of kind of things that kind of go wrong in a game like that, I guess. Like, it's just one of those nights where something always seemed to go wrong for you guys. Is that a fair assessment?
Maybe a little bit, but I mean, we had our chances too, and we couldn't capitalize, and their goalie made some good saves, and we had some looks on the power play that just didn't go for us. But we played hard, and you know, a couple bounces here and there, but we definitely we want to be more consistent for sure.
They do really well. What's the best part of that game?
Yeah, I mean, they play fast. You know, you can see how they transition the puck well, and they hold on to pucks in the ozone. And, they've got a lot of skill, and they try not to give you too much room offensively. But I mean, they're playing a good team game right now. They're getting some goaltending, and things are going for them. So they're a good team.
There you go, Tyson Barry talking about his team's loss to the New Jersey Devils. That is correct. They are a good team, and they play that up-tempo pace. The third goal they scored, speed the other way. It was a really nice goal. Like, if you're a biased Oilers fan, obviously you're not going to like it. But if you put it on in black and white and pretended it wasn't the Oilers, you might be like, you know what, that was kind of a nice goal for the New Jersey Devils. They'll be a tough team. We'll see how it works out in the playoffs. I know even when they had their hot start to the season, some people were kind of bringing up, yeah, but it won't work in the playoffs. You know, the whistles go away. The small skill isn't as effective. So that'll be a team to watch out for sure. For the Edmonton Oilers, as we've talked about a little bit, two more games in New York. They head to take on the Islanders on Wednesday and then the Rangers on Saturday, a couple days off. Maybe do some sightseeing. I don't know what people get up to in New York. There's a lot to see. I don't think 2 days is enough to see it. Maybe catch a show. The Islanders this year, players to watch out for. Obviously, Matthew Barzal. He actually didn't have a goal until this past weekend. 19 assists, but he was goalless. And then he scored 2 against the Dallas Stars. He is their leading point getter. Brock Nelson has 9 goals on the season. Anders Lee as well. He's got 8 goals on the season. Kyle Palmieri is chipping in. Oliver Wahlstrom. They've got some players to be wary of. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but I feel like Brock Nelson and Anders Lee have had some success against the Oilers in the past. So you got to watch out for those two for sure.
They sure have, and I always remember the Oilers going into Long Island and never having a really good time, unless you count the 80s, of course. Then they kind of split things a little bit. But it's never been one of my favorite places to watch the Oilers play. I've seen some pretty tough losses on the island, Connor.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. They go back. They have a long history of meeting in Stanley Cup Finals, things of that nature. But, yeah, that'll be an interesting one for sure. We'll check the text line here. See if there's anyone we want to get to. Lots of texts coming in. Big thank you to everyone who tuned in and sent in their text. We apologize if we missed any. McDavid has fewer even strength points than Matt Tkachuk. Reason to be concerned? No, because Connor McDavid's a far superior hockey player than Matt Tkachuk. So I wouldn't be too worried about that one if we're being totally honest. Bobby says, evening, gentlemen. Hoping that Campbell recovers quickly. The season is going off the rails for this team. Yeah, you know what? What this team needs right now, Jeff, is for Jack Campbell to get out there and have a really good start. You know,
100%.
Get his confidence back. Regain the starter's net. You know, start 3 out of every 4 games. Let Stuart Skinner have a little bit more time to rest and have that break in between games. I'm not putting it on Skinner, but this team, you know, paid Jack Campbell to be their starter. They need him to be their starter and improve his game. Get some confidence. Have the confidence of the guys in front of him. You know, that'll help out. But I think it all starts on Wednesday. If he can start to trend in the right direction on Wednesday, you know, this team could start to go on a bit of a run. But, yeah, they certainly need to get this thing back on track, because as a couple texters have pointed out, at 10-12-60, the Oilers now currently sitting outside of a playoff spot in the Western Conference. And I don't think too many people would have thought that on November 21st.
I agree with you completely, Connor. It's kind of wacky. You know, like, I think that's the best way to put it. It's kind of wacky so far. Before we go here, Connor, I am going to get to the Walker post-game Ranger Gold Star of the night. There's a couple of New Jersey Devils I was looking at. I don't think there's anybody on the Oilers that really stood out for tonight. Nico Heeshire, he did have 3 assists, but I'm going to be going into the goaltending for Jersey. Vanecek, he might not have had the toughest second and third period, but he really kept the Devils in the first period. The Oilers were, you know, kind of all over them, finished with a 933 save percentage and got the win. So he's going to get the Jeff Walker post-game Ranger Gold Star of the night.
The Walker post-game Ranger Gold Star of the night. You're right, Jeff. Big saves, and when it mattered, right? He obviously got the big save on Connor McDavid on kind of a breakaway, the wraparound. I've mentioned it many times, the save on Hyman in front of the net. Lots of big saves. Maybe quality over quantity. You hear that music? We're done here on the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show. Don Wheaton, GM on White, your dealer for Cadillac, Buick, Chevrolet, and GMC. Jeff, thank you for all your help tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Always a pleasure working with you, Connor.
To everyone who sent in their text, we really do appreciate it. If you just tuned in now and you want to hear it, check TSN1260.ca in a couple minutes. We'll have the podcast up for your downloading pleasure. And again, thanks for tuning in. Oilers lose 5-2 to the Devils. They're back in action Wednesday when they'll take on the Islanders.